Hi everyone! Left to our own devices, the conference may be over, but you can still watch the recording at cybellum.com/conference. Tune in to listen to FDA updates from FDA executives themselves, learn about AI in automotive from NVIDIA, the AI leader, and listen to product security leaders from Philips, Honeywell, CISA, and more. Go to cybellum.com/conference and watch the recording for free. See you at the next event!
Hi, this is David.
And this is Shlomi.
And you've tuned into Left to Our Own Devices,
the Product Security Podcast.
All right, our guest today is Mariana Padilla. She is the co-founder and CEO of Ackerverse. She's a self-described smasher of status quos, and there's nothing she hates more than being told, "This is the way we've always done it." Mariana initially joined Ackerverse because she has personally experienced the pain of purchasing enterprise software and was immediately on board with the vision of disrupting the traditional sales process. The challenge of solving the software sales problem lights her up, and she won't stop until she's successful in creating a buyer-led sales motion for the cybersecurity industry. So, Mariana, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Truly, truly a pleasure. And I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
As are we.
We feel the same. So I think, first of all, we need to thank you for joining us, even though there's a solar eclipse happening right now where you are. And you kind of decided to join us anyway. So thank you. Our listeners are curious about your cybersecurity journey. So can you tell us a little bit what initially drew you to this field and what key experiences or people have shaped your path to leading the Ackerverse?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So like someone who has existed in technology and used a lot of technology, I kind of knew about the cybersecurity field, but kind of really only vaguely. And it really wasn't until I met my co-founder, Craig, about 2 years ago and really learned about what he was doing that propelled my entrance into the industry. So Craig has been in cybersecurity for, you know, 25 years and told me about his vision for building a company where essentially you could come on to this platform and click on the start demo or start POC and be able to essentially evaluate tools on your own time. And that was really what drew me to it, was the ability to have more, I guess, autonomy in the purchasing process. Because as you said in your intro, I have lived the pain of purchasing enterprise software and, you know, the dread, the existential dread that happens when you have to click on the talk to sales button. And so just kind of, I really understood the vision and where he was headed. But now, obviously, I've been in the space in a couple years now, and I'm really, really happy to have found cybersecurity, really made my home here and met a lot of really incredible people along the way. So it was kind of an accidental entry into the space, figured out like what it was all about and met a lot of really incredible people along the way. And so I guess in answer to your question, I met some incredible folks. Obviously, my co-founder, Craig Elrod, has been awesome. Signing up for a startup is hard. Doing startups are hard. You know, they're very, very difficult. So having an incredible co-founder that you can work really well with is important. But beyond him, you know, there's just an incredible group of guys like Philip Wiley and Jeffrey Wheatman and others who have been super welcoming. Obviously, we know about the gender disparities in cybersecurity. And I have been very, very lucky to get connected with allies in this space who have elevated my work, who talk, you know, about what we're doing to others and promote what we're doing. So it's been very, very great experience so far.
Wow, that's great. It's interesting what you just said, and we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show about the gender differences and everything else. But we've had some very, very successful power women on this podcast, including Dr. Suzanne Schwartz, who heads up cybersecurity, one of the top cybersecurity people in the FDA, and Katie Boswell, general manager of cybersecurity and AI at KPMG. It's great that we're helping to give a platform, you know, for that. And we'll discuss that a little bit later. But when you think about entrepreneurship, you know, definitely you have your ups and downs. Can you walk us through a specific instance where you overcame a hurdle or learned a valuable lesson while leading the Ackerverse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So many. Yeah, like so many things come to mind when you ask that question. I think, first of all, the way I kind of view failure is I don't really even think about failures as being a failure unless you don't learn something from the experience. So for me, entrepreneurship is just, I guess, a path. And, you know, you learn some things along the way. Some of them go well, some of them don't go well. But successful entrepreneurship is really about being able to be really flexible and be able to pivot quickly is the one thing that I would say about that. So I think a lot of times, one of the biggest things I see with entrepreneurs, you know, in tech and otherwise, is that sometimes they create businesses that have a solution without a problem, right? So you're creating this company, you haven't done a lot of consumer research, you're really tied and wedded to this idea that you're creating, but you haven't done the research ahead of time to really evaluate whether or not this is something that consumers are really going to be interested in. And so, you know, we kind of learned that lesson early on and kind of trying to create some things we thought would be great for the company. And it just didn't end up being something that consumers were really interested in. So since that happened, I've really learned from that experience. And so anytime we do anything, the first place I go to is my community, right? So, and I've managed to build this incredible network of allies and just folks in the space from, you know, MSSPs to cybersecurity vendor leaders to, you know, practitioners to all sorts of people. And so the first thing that I do is I say, hey, you know, what do you guys think about this? Would this be a feature that you would use? Tell me some things that we'd make this platform an indispensable place for you to either come evaluate software or to connect with community or whatever it is. And so I think that that is the most valuable lesson that I've learned is listen to your consumers, start with consumer feedback, really take a lot of time to dive into that and really understand that before launching a business. And so if it's anyone, whether you're considering launching if it's a cybersecurity business, if it's a, you know, a SaaS business, if it's a bakery, it doesn't really matter. The thing that I would say is start with consumer insight and consumer discovery first.
Such an important lesson. It sounds simple, but it's so rare and difficult to really follow through. So I love that tip. In terms of cybersecurity specifically, what would you say sticks out as the most important lesson you have learned about cybersecurity throughout your journey?
Ooh, I mean, so many things. I guess really top of mind for me and like the rest of the world, I guess, is AI, right? So we're all, I don't know if you guys are going out to RSA, but I will be there. And I'm curious to do an AI count in terms of how many booths say, like, we're an AI company, we're an AI cybersecurity company, we're cybersecurity for AI, right?
So, I think it's going to be how many booths don't say AI.
How many booths don't. That's true. Very fair. We started to see that shift, obviously, at Black Hat last year. I can't remember when it really was that you know, OpenAI kind of burst onto the scenes, but it was maybe shortly before that. And so, like, Black Hat, it was like, oh, okay, we're all AI companies now. So I think for me, it's like AI presents an incredible opportunity, obviously, to really speed up a lot of internal processes that were slow and, you know, outdated and whatever. But, you know, obviously, the more AI tools that you adopt into your tech stack, the threat vectors obviously go up, right? And so we're only starting to see how these bad actors are using AI tooling to their advantage to speed up their processes. And so I think very much top of mind for me right now is, are the tools that are going to be there to protect against the, you know, threats opened up by AI that you'd adopt into your system. And so then I guess I would say, these are the things that we need to be mindful of. And business leaders of all industries are, you know, rushing to adopt AI and into their tech stack and all these things. And, you know, and you know, obviously that it's going to speed up a lot of processes, but I don't think people are really, other than folks in cybersecurity, are really thinking about, okay, well, then what? Is this you know, product really secure? Like, has this been vetted? Like, is there a tool that's going to help, you know, once I have this tool, you know, is there going to be something there that's protecting that? That's very top of mind for me, like a lot of other folks, I guess.
That sounds great. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. You know, last week we had an event, Left to Our Own Devices, the conference, and we had a session there given by Katie Boswell and Christy from KPMG. And it was specifically about cybersecurity and AI. And it was like really interesting. And she went into all kinds of aspects of what they've been doing as a practice. And when it becomes a practice, you know, also AI, also, you know, together with cybersecurity and looking at all the aspects of everything from what are the cybersecurity issues inherent in executing something, you know, on the AI side, or what can AI do to help us with cybersecurity? Like, we have both sides of the coin. And I think it'll be interesting to see at RSA, and also as we continue with all the big events during the year, how organizations are pitching what they have, and also the flip side of that. So what are the dangers of AI? So you were accepted into Google's prestigious program recently. Can you explain a little bit about what the Google Growth Academy AI cybersecurity program entails, and what specific goals do you have for the Hackerverse during your participation there?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the kind words. Yeah, great opportunity. So there are 17 total teams from across the US and Europe who were accepted into the 2024 cohort. So we kicked off in Munich in February, and getting access to Google product team members, Google mentors, sales team mentors, product leaders, all those kinds of things is an incredible opportunity. I think for us, it's going back to AI. How can we best leverage AI internally to really speed up a lot of our own processes in a very safe way? So we have, you know, a really great mentor who's been a product leader for years and years and years, was one of the very early guys at Waze, which was then obviously acquired by Google. So that right now is top of mind for us, is like, how can we create a really solid roadmap from seed to Series A? We'll be fundraising starting in May, but creating effective, you know, product roadmaps is really top of mind for us, as well as, you know, doing things in a secure fashion. Obviously, there is an event tomorrow, so we have access to folks who have been building in the cybersecurity space for a long time. So really looking forward to tomorrow's session, which is an Ask Me Anything with a vendor leader. So obviously, you know, access to the Google network is incredible, as well as the Mandiant team, obviously, now that that is part of Google. And they're doing some really, really interesting stuff. So they came to the kickoff in Munich and talked about like the dark web personas that they've been creating, and just some interesting things that I think we would love to be able to eventually partner with Mandiant in some of the technology that they are putting out there. But we will be wrapping up in October in Warsaw. So lots to come over the next several months for us.
Munich in February and October in Warsaw.
So I mean, what's funny about this is that they originally told us Malaga in southern Spain. And I was like, woo! Yeah. And then they're like, just kidding, Poland.
Okay. Well, October isn't as that bad, but February in Munich, I've been, and yeah, it's cold.
Well, I mean, everything in perspective. I live in Chicago, where, you know, we're known for
very windy,
like truly, right, truly brutal winters. So for me, I'm like, as long as it's not like negative 30 degrees Fahrenheit, we're fine.
Yeah, and also you have some really good Bavarian beer in Munich. So
yes, okay. True. Yes, yes.
We'll yep. Especially if you like nice beer or, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. At least it's for a good reason, the best of reasons, I think. So following up on what started talking about earlier, you're a champion for women in cybersecurity. Can you share some of your most significant achievements in promoting diversity within the field? And what future initiatives are you excited about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, kind of accidentally ended up in this field. You know, very happy to be here, but it wasn't necessarily something that if you had asked me like 4 years ago, I've been like, do you think you're going to be in cybersecurity in 4 years? I would have been like, maybe, I don't know. But here we are. Yeah, so it was kind of interesting. So last year is my first RSA. And obviously, if you operate in the space, you're aware of the gender disparities. But, you know, it wasn't as in your face until you get to RSA and you realize that they have converted all of the women's restrooms into all gender restrooms because there weren't enough women there to justify having women's restrooms. This is a real thing. So, you know, and I am very comfortable like operating in this space and it doesn't necessarily bother me, but obviously recognize that there's a lot of work to be done. You know, I've done some guest mentorship with the Hacker in Heels program run by CC Champagne, and they do a lot of incredible like mentoring and coaching work with women in cybersecurity paired up with other women in this space. But ultimately, really what I want to be able to do is to leverage the Hackerverse as an opportunity to bring more diversity into cybersecurity. So what does that mean? That means means strategic partnerships to increase the diversity of the talent pool. That means, you know, partnering potentially with local universities or maybe even K through 12 organizations to set up programming or partner with organizations that are setting up programming with these schools to start training folks. I hate using the word youngsters because that makes me sound like I'm ancient, but with the youth to get more young people into cybersecurity. I mean, I saw something recently that talked about like a lot of the hacking activity occurring in the UK was actually between like 13 to 17 year olds. So, you know, there's already, you know, teenagers involved in this space. Now it's just being strategic about getting, you know, more girls into the space and being strategic about, you know, people of color and bringing them into the space as well. So this is something that we've really put a lot of time and energy and thought into our strategic plan as we move forward. You know, as the Hackerverse grows, obviously we can have more impact and make more of an impact on that. You know, in the meantime, you know, we really actively source for bringing more diversity onto our team. My co-founder really wanted a woman as a CEO, which is part of the reason we started working together. So, you know, it's a great opportunity to, you know, represent as a woman in cybersecurity, but obviously recognizing that there's a lot of work to be done. I will, you know, shout out here to all the men that I mentioned earlier. Like, literally, we can't do this by ourselves, right? You know, if there's like, can't even get our own bathroom at RSA, like, you know, we'll be fighting an uphill battle if we're not like bringing men into the conversation. So I think a lot of men like yourselves, like, thank you for asking this question, who are actively, you know, working to be allies and have these conversations. I mean, if you think about it and, you know, going back to what we've learned or what I've learned about cybersecurity, I think this is another answer, which is that, you know, a lack of diversity is a security risk, right? If you are facing threat actors from around the world who have a diverse set of perspectives and thought processes, and your entire team looks the same and thinks the same, you're already behind, right? So diversity of thought and diversity in general in your team is not only, you know, right, the right thing to do, but also it is, you know, from a security perspective, something that we need to think about. So yeah, all of those things.
That's a really interesting perspective. Yes.
Yeah. I have two thoughts about what you just said. First of all, I think I have the best idea for a booth at RSA this year. Just women's bathroom. You'll get like the most traffic. So as a marketing person,
I'm on board. Who's going to pay for this?
Yeah. But on a more serious note, I love everything you do around it. And when you talked about youngsters or the youth, I was thinking that our first guest on this show was a 19-year-old hacker from Germany, another woman, unfortunately, but he is a great guy, David Colombo, who hacked to 20-something Teslas from his house in Germany as pretty much a teen or you know, 19-year-old, which is close to being a teen. So yeah, tons of talent in that age group. And I love that you focus on that as well.
Yeah, and definitely agree with what you said about diversity and about how people look at different things in different ways, especially depending on their background. And, you know, we have actually our analyst group is made up primarily of women. We actually just hired a guy. So we were trying to be diverse and we brought in a guy. But our analysts are incredible. And they really have a good perspective of what they are doing. And they have the patience to look for and to really nail down, you know, the things that they need to. So yeah, I get it. And I agree with you 100%. There used to be actually a model, and I forget the name of the model, but it talked about how if you have two people in the same room, then you have, you know, that much more creativity. And then if you bring people in from different parts of the world and you bring in different genders and different races and different, you know, colors, everything, you will just get exponentially better creativity. And of course, in the cyber world, creativity is so important as well, because you have to constantly think and, you know, try to play against the 724 hackers who, you know, they might have day jobs, but their job is to just keep trying every avenue possible to hack in.
Right.
And you know, and while you're trying to think, okay, so yeah, you know, how are we gonna combat that? It's almost impossible. And so you really need to have that exponential creativity.
Right. And so, I mean, one of the things I always think about when having these conversations is earlier in my life, in a previous life, I spent some time as a teacher in an inner city school here in the US. And I brought raspberries to school one day and they had literally never seen a raspberry. These are middle schoolers. So I'm talking like 12 to 14 year old here. So things that I like literally took for granted in my life was totally foreign to these kids, right? And lots of other examples of that. But if you take that just as an example, and if everybody on your team knows what a raspberry is, just as an example, it's like, okay, we're like trying to achieve this thing. Let's go after the raspberry. And then you have someone out here who's like, well, what about a blueberry? Now I'm just like making up an analogy here, but the point stands is that everybody like views the world through different colored lenses and the things that I take for granted and someone else is like totally foreign to them. So I guess, you know, to your point, you know, diversity and creativity exponentially compounds when you have people with, you know, different viewpoints and views on life.
Absolutely. So we have one more question for you. And I think we could actually keep talking and talking, but you know, we do try to keep these very succinct. That's the way we keep these episodes so that people will keep coming back and they do. So what advice or guidance would you give to someone just starting out? Maybe some of our youthful friends.
The youth.
The youth. Who are considering entering into this cybersecurity industry.
So first of all, I will say that, you know, by and large, I have found this industry to be extremely, extremely welcoming. Like I said, connected with some great folks. But just like anything else, you get out what you put into. I think that part of my success in breaking into the space and networking and getting as far as I have professionally and with the company is my ability to network. I will say that more than any other industry I have worked in, cybersecurity is so heavily trust-based and relationship-based, which makes sense, right? Like me sending out a cold email, like never going to freaking work, right? Like it's going to go to spam. God forbid I call someone. They're never going to talk to you ever again, right? So you have to have a strong network in cybersecurity if you want to succeed. So what does that mean? Like, so one of the things that I have done, you know, last year in 2023, had over 400 virtual coffees with people and most of them cybersecurity. There were a couple that weren't, but what I, you know, I just started engaging with people's content on LinkedIn. I would reach out to them and, you know, say, hey, let's schedule a virtual coffee. I'm really interested in meeting you. I'm not trying to sell you anything. You have to tell them you're not going to try to sell them anything. That's very, very important. LinkedIn has gotten so scammy. So you have to, you know, tell them what the rules are. But overall, I mean, the vast majority of people would take me up on that. It's been 30 minutes just to get to know them, hear about their stories in cybersecurity, tell them what I'm doing. And then the thing that I always offer and deeply believe in is giving first mentality. So I always ask on every single call, how can I be helpful to you? Or what can I offer to you? So whether that's, you know, making introductions to other people in my LinkedIn network, whether that's like, hey, I need an hour to just like do some virtual co-working. I'm not like motivated right now. Like, cool, let's do it. So anything I can do to be helpful to someone else, truly believe in like rising tides, lift all boats kind of situation. So give first mentality. I believe in that. Networking. And so I think between those two things, you can build a solid group of people who will help you break into the space and then advance in the space. I think, you know, I was just actually on a guest mentorship call a couple of weeks ago with Hacker in Heels, and it was all about networking. And the thing that I told them is you have to be top of mind, right? So we live in an attention deficit world. So in a time where people forget things and aren't paying attention, how can you continue to be top of mind for people? And so I think that is where I've reached out and I've offered to help you. And like, you know, if you're looking for a job, I'll send you job listings or whatever it is. So then when the time comes that you need to actually ask someone in your network for help, it's like, oh yeah, this is a person who really helped me over the last 3, 6, 9, 12 months. How can I help them now? So I think it's just really all about being human and building those strong human connections is absolutely critical more than anything else.
That's incredible. I agree with you 100%. It's definitely the base for everything that we do and the base for what I think will drive productivity and advancement in the industry going forward.
For sure. And I must tell you, like, we've had, I think, 50 of these episodes so far, and we've been asking this question a lot. And I think it's the first time I heard that answer, and I love it. The importance of networking, and more, even more so, the giving first mentality. I think it's so underappreciated and it's so important. So with that, I think it's a perfect segue to end this. Thanks a lot, Mariana, for coming on and for the insights, both personal, entrepreneurial, cybersecurity related, everything. I learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners did as well. So thank you, and enjoy the rest of the eclipse.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
And there's no question that you're going to succeed because you have the right outlook. You know, I always believe that people who are willing to help other people, and it's one of the goals that they have, they will succeed as well in everything that they're doing, because you're not game playing. You're serious about what you're doing, and you're serious about helping others. And I really believe that that's a fundamental must for leadership. And it promotes not only leadership, but it promotes people who will go with you and will, you know, give the extra mile because they know who you are and what you stand for. So we wish you a lot of success in this venture and everything going forward as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for those kind words.
Left to Our Own Devices is brought to you by Cybellum. To learn more, visit cybellum.com.